Last week, somebody asked me, where in the Bible will I find the Christmas story? And I said, I'm glad you asked that. That's a really good question, and I'm glad that it was asked. I want to make sure everybody knows that. Not everybody would know it right off the bat, all right? You will find the Christmas story in the first two chapters of Matthew and Luke. The other two Gospels really don't contain the details of the Christmas story, but Matthew and Luke, the first two chapters, that's where you'll find it. When all else fails, read the text. Learn that in Bible college. You can't very well observe Christmas if you don't observe the only record that we have of the Christmas story. That's Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2. And I want to encourage you to have those in hand this morning. Take a look at both. You need to look at both because we get details from one that you don't get from the other. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at three different angel stories from the Christmas story in three different places regarding three different people who received messages from angels. So it's going to be built around these three people. The first one is Zechariah. You can call him Zacharias or Zechariah. Both are correct, just depending on how you translate his name. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was this priest, Zechariah. Zechariah had been praying, at least in the past he used to, that God would give him a child to him and his wife Elizabeth. It was a prayer that apparently God in the past had answered with a no, and now that the couple was too old, I expect that the prayers of Zechariah about having a child were history. Maybe you've prayed a prayer like that, where you asked God for something and over time you just gave up. In those days, when Zechariah was a priest, there were more priests than Israel needed. In fact, one researcher says maybe upwards of 18,000 priests in the nation of Israel. And so Zechariah, when he was given the opportunity to offer incense as a part of worship to the Lord in the temple in Jerusalem, was likely participating in what was for him a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. His day, his moment, his big moment, it was kind of a big deal. What he didn't realize is that it was going to turn into even a bigger deal than he expected. We're in Luke chapter 1, and I'd like you to start reading there with me in verse 11. As Zechariah went in to offer incense in the temple, here's what it says. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Apparently, sometimes even though the message comes from the mouth of an angel, people don't always believe it. As impressive as an angel's appearance may be, sometimes the junk of life convinces us it can't be fixed. Zechariah would believe the angel later, but he's going to have 9 months to think about it without saying anything. That's Zechariah. 5 months pass, Mary. 5 months pass, Gabriel is sent again to deliver a message in Nazareth to Mary. Mary, who by the social norms of the time would have been a teenager. She was betrothed to a young man. She was looking forward to her wedding day. She has her whole life laid out before her, and Gabriel is about to come and change her whole story. We're still in Luke chapter 1, this time in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary's response echoed some of the responses of godly people that she knew of from the Old Testament stories. A simple response by people like Hannah. It's simple. There's nothing for her to do at this point except say, "Okay, whatever the Lord wants me to do." That's a good place to be, isn't it? And it's a scary place to be, too. You never know for sure what you're getting yourself into when you say, "Okay, Lord, you lead, I'll go, wherever you lead." That was Mary's response. The third person I want us to look at briefly here is Joseph. Some more time passes, enough that Mary is now pregnant and Joseph knows about it. We looked at his story last week. He's going to divorce the woman whom he presumed had been unfaithful to him, and he is figuring out how he can walk away from this engagement and his shattered dreams quietly. Matthew tells the story, chapter 1, verse 20. "But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife." Joseph's response to the angel message was simple: wake up and do what he said to do. That's some good advice, isn't it? Wake up and do what the Lord commanded. When the direction God wants you to go is spelled out in very specific terms, that's the best response. That's always a good place to be. Not always the easiest place to be, sometimes, but it's the best place to be. Amen? I wonder this morning, this Christmas, as the message from God hits your ears, what your response will sound most like? Disbelief, submission, or action? It's been my prayer coming into this message today that you'll be tuned into God's plans for you, and that your response is going to sound more like the response of Mary and Joseph. Or maybe in the past you have been disbelieving like Zechariah, but with time, like Zechariah, you're coming around now with some amazement at what God is doing in your life story. Maybe you noticed the title of this message. I want you to find yourself in the Christmas story. Remember 8 years ago, as a church family, we went through a series of messages called The Story. Remember that? That was 8 years ago. And every week, as we looked at the story of Scripture, we considered what we were looking at each week from three perspectives. We called it the upper story, and the lower story, and your story. And the upper story was about what God is doing, sometimes the unseen plan of God that God is unfolding. Then there's the lower story of what's taking place in human history, the human timeline, history as we see it. And then there was your story, how you and I fit into what God is doing, that story. Well, Christmas time reminds us a lot of that lower story. There are these amazing historical events. They are all unfolding in a particular region of the world. There is a census. There is a journey. There is a town called Bethlehem. There is a star. There are magi from the east. There is a corrupt and murderous king. There are shepherds and sheep in the fields at night. We just read three excerpts of a lower story kind and the different responses to it. All kinds of people, I think, today are just fine with the lower story, even if they don't believe it ever really happened. You and I could just read those stories all year long. Everyone would be fine with that, till they become more in our thinking and planning than just interesting stories, though. They're kind of like those Christmas cookies left over here on the shelf, undecorated, uneaten, and useless. I want to invite you to look at the other two perspectives with me this morning. That'll give us something to do. That will give us something to leave with today. And so here's the first perspective I want you and I to see, and that is to see the amazing plan of God's story in what we just read. Hebrews 1:1. Hebrews starts out with these words: long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. And you can include angels in the many ways that God spoke in the past. In fact, he used angels so many times in just the story of Christmas that you could speak for weeks, 4 or 5 weeks in a row, about the stories of angels in Christmas. You ever noticed how amazed salespeople sound about whatever it is they're selling? Some of those home shopping network things. Oh, look at that chicken nugget. That's amazing. Oh, that tastes amazing. That's got to be the best chicken nugget I've ever eaten. Or, I can't believe the way that knife just cut through that tomato. I've never had a knife cut like that. Really? Is it really that incredible? Is everything the radio announcer announces really as amazing as his voice is trying to make it sound? When I get up here and I say that God's story is amazing, is it just another snow job from a salesperson who is saying what he is supposed to say? Or is there something about what God is doing in this Christmas story that is beyond amazing? So I do some digging, and I pull up a list of Old Testament predictions about Jesus. 121 messianic predictions about Jesus. spread all across the centuries and circumstances of the Old Testament. Around 2000 BC, God makes promises to a man named Abram that through him and his descendants, the whole world is going to be blessed one day. In Deuteronomy, some 1300 or 1400 years before Jesus is born, Moses says that the Lord your God is going to raise up a prophet like me. 2 Samuel, about 1,000 years before Jesus is born, God promises to David that he's going to have a descendant who's going to rule forever. Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus' birth, speaks of a virgin being with child, of a shepherd who will come and suffer and lay down his life for the sheep. 600 years before, Jeremiah talks about the murder of the babies of Bethlehem. 500 years before, the prophet Micah talks about the way that he will be born in the city, Bethlehem. 400 years before, Malachi predicts the arrival of John the Baptist. These Old Testament books, written long before these things happened, hundreds and thousands of years, they weren't reverse engineered so that they would match up with the story of Jesus coming to earth. There is no way to explain those things, no way to explain that except to acknowledge that God predicted these things and they happened. So the Christmas story is amazing. Amen? It's amazing because of its value as evidence. We can point to the numbers, we can point to the verified facts, and we can say, this is no coincidence. It was history, yes. But it was also history that was mapped out by God for centuries before it happened. So if you walked in here this morning a skeptic, come to terms with the evidence and be intellectually honest and be amazed. It's amazing. But it's more than just good evidence that verifies the historical veracity of the written record of Jesus' birth. It's also the story of heaven coming down to earth. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, said, "The eternal being who knows everything and who created the whole universe became not only a man, but before that a baby, and before that a fetus inside a woman's body. If you want to get the hang of it, think how you would like to become a slug or a crab." It is the story of God Almighty who knows you and who values you and who wants you to live with him forever. It is the story of the God who comes walking in the Garden of Eden, who calls out to his fallen creation, "Adam, where are you?" And the same God who calls out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Listen to what Peter writes about all these Old Testament predictions. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look." Even the people God was using to write the story, even Isaiah and Jeremiah and Micah, even those people couldn't understand it, not like you and I get to understand it today. This story that we read today is God's story. His story, not just his story. How about we treat the story of Christmas for what it is? Something that God started and something that God has been doing ever since the beginning. His story. And then keep looking at it and see your part in God's story. Find yourself in the Christmas story. What does it look like when you find yourself in the Christmas story? Do you see some Zechariah in your life? Maybe God has called you to be the parent of a child who's going to do something very important in the course of human history. Wouldn't that be amazing? Maybe he has called you to take on some kind of a demanding load, a role that most others won't appreciate or even accept. Maybe he is sending you headfirst into something scary. The story of Christmas could help us step back and consider how God has plans for you, for me. Plans? Yes. And I don't know exactly what good things God has for you to do, but I do know that he has. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand in order that we should walk in them. Sometime before the opportunity arrived, maybe long before you were born, sometime way back there, God prepared something good for you to do. Sometime in the past, God arranged it that you would move in across the street from the old couple who's going to need help and need someone to check in on them. Sometime before you started your job, God prepared it so that you would be there, so that when your coworker went through the loss of his parent, you would be there to comfort him. Sometime before you ever thought about it, God had you in the class that you're in at school so that you'd be there when someone asked the truth about God or important issues in life, and you'd be there to give it to him or to her. Sometime in the past, God knew that you'd be at Central Christian Church, December of 2022, and he knew that there was a ministry that he wanted done and that he set aside for you. For you. And I wonder what that list looks like, that list of good works that God has prepared in advance for you to walk in. You see, this is God's story, and you have a part in it. You are his workmanship. You are his doing, created to do good works that he prepared. It's easy to look at these angel visits now and to talk about them analytically, isn't it? Well, Zechariah, he kind of blew it at first, and look what happened to him. I wonder if I can get that done to my uncle who talks too much. Or Mary, good for her. I hope I respond like that when I see what God is wanting to use me to do. But what's your response to God's story today? What's your part in God's story? You know, there are a lot of things in life that are out of your control. You can't stop them or make them happen, but your response is always yours. No one gets to choose that for you. So see your part in God's story and respond. And then there's something else, something like the work that angels do that we get to do. It's the third point here this morning. You love point three, don't you? Because that means, hey, it's coming to an end. And that is that we get to help others see their part in God's story. Israel was finished wandering around in the desert, and it's time to move into the promised land, and that move into the promised land means battles. It means something new for the people of Israel, going to war. And one of the first battles is going to be the city of Jericho. It's a city with walls, very intimidating. It'll test the faith of God's people, and it'll test the faith of God's leader, Joshua. And God sends some reassurance to Joshua in the form of, guess what? An angel. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or our adversaries?" And he said, "No." Just let that sink in for a second. "But I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" All right, got that scene in your head? Are you for us or our adversaries? No. The question to ask was not, is God on my side? When you consider who's on whose side, the question to ask is, are you on God's side? Are you for God? God has not asked us to see if we can fit his story into people's lives. He has invited us to help people see how their lives fit into his story. The raindrop doesn't propose to the ocean, hey, would you like to be involved in what I'm doing? And a pebble doesn't ask the mountain, want to join up with me? The grain of sand doesn't say to the beach, how would you like to be a part of what I'm doing? God doesn't suggest that we work his story into our lives. All of human history already belongs to God. What we get to do is see the role that our lives play in his story. When the angel Gabriel, think about this, when the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah, he didn't ask him, Zechariah, would you like to be a part of God's plan? He came to announce good news to him. Zechariah was going to have a son named John, and John was going to prepare the way for Messiah to make his entrance into the world. When Gabriel came to Mary, he didn't ask Mary if she'd be willing to undertake a difficult yet rewarding position. Your mission, should you decide to accept it, Mary, Mary would bear the Son of God, period. When the angel came to Joseph, it wasn't to ask Joseph if he would like to have a key role in protecting and raising the Messiah so that he could carry out God's plan on earth. It wasn't even a conversation. Remember, it was a dream. It was a message. He was told what was going to happen and that he was going to be this child's earthly father, period. Do you hear the difference between giving attention to God's story and seeing how you're supposed to fit into God's story? I wonder how many people would be helped this Christmas if instead of inviting them to consider how the story of Jesus affects them, they were to consider how their lives could fit into the wonderful story of Jesus. We shouldn't apologize for that, brothers and sisters. We should be living it ourselves. Amen? Amen? Not every feature of Christmas, by the way, is merry and bright. Somewhere along the way, we've made it even a terrifying experience for little ones. Get online, by the way. There's collections of these kids crying on Santa's lap. If we expect to succeed in helping people to Jesus this Christmas, we need to do that in a way that is winsome, right? That way we can win some for his kingdom. We need to be winsome, and I expect that one of the ways that we can be winsome to people with the message of Jesus is to openly and honestly tell them about our own journey. Our discoveries, our mess-ups, our joys, and invite them to come along with us on that journey. Can you picture that? Can you picture saying to somebody, you know, I was in the habit of just making God part of my life, and I came to realize how off track that is. I guess that means I'm growing, because the more that I learn, the more I realize I need to learn. And when you talk about the God of the universe, you're not really in a place to negotiate with him or suggest that you might give him some concessions. You and I, created just a little lower than the heavenly beings, we get to pick up their work. We get to take the message to people and say to them, I've got good news for you. You have a place in God's story, and I can tell you how you can fit into that. We get to do that. Isn't that great? Find yourself in the Christmas story. Help someone else find it too. Just a moment here. We're inviting people to make the decision to put themselves in God's story like they're supposed to be. He has good works for you to do. He's already prepared those in advance. And he has already done the good work of paving the way for you to be reconciled to him, to be brought back in relationship to him, even though you've wandered off. That's everyone's story. That's his desire for you today. If you're joining us online, we're glad that you are here. We're sad that you're not here in person, and we wish that we could look you in the eye and say, this is for you. This is for every person. Maybe today you're watching and you want to be a part of this, then you need to get in contact with us. Would you do that, please? Get in contact, cccrockford.org/connect. Or right now, if you're watching live, type in some comments and say, I'm interested in this. I want to find out how I can be one of Christ's followers. And we'll get right back with you and help you in that journey. If you're here in person this morning, this is a place to do that. You can step forward here in just a moment and say, this is it. This is the day I'm aligning my life with God's plans. I'm ready to follow him. If that's you, then we're inviting you to come. If you believe that Jesus is God's son, if you're prepared to give your life to him, if you're ready to say goodbye to the old life, repent of that, and go towards the life that he has for you, if you're ready to be baptized into him, to receive his Holy Spirit, to have forgiveness of your sins, we're ready to help you make that choice today. In just a moment, we're going to pray together. We're going to sing a closing song here. We're going to dismiss from here. And God has given you this opportunity. Please don't let it go by. Let's stand up together. The rest of you who already are followers of Jesus, would you right now look into your own life and consider if you have fit yourself into God's plan for your life? And think about the person that you're praying for, that one person, and how you can include them, help them be included into God's story for their life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we're able to be here. That's always a blessing to us. But even more so, we want our lives to be used by you. You have prepared good things for us to do. Please open our eyes to see what those are, especially in the relationships that we have with people who we can influence. God, help us to bear the good news, just as an angel brought the news of your work in the lives of individuals. Help us today to know, to find those individuals that we can help bring to you. Father, we pray that the obstacles, the excuses, the reasons for putting this decision off that some have carried with them a whole lifetime will fall aside today. Thank you that we have this moment, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.